All right, with me on the phone is Zandra Ross. Do you mind doing a little introduction for us?
Oh, thank you so much, Courtney. As you said, my name is Zandra Ross. I am my maiden name is Wycott. I'm originally from the Williams Lake First Nation, but I've called the beautiful territory of the Kwaitli-Tene my home for on and off about 27 years. I'm an organizational development consultant and mindset coach. And on a good day, I am also a fitness professional yoga instructor. I have been working with individuals, teams, and organizations a lot in our First Nations communities for my entire working career. Basically, what my goals are helping people overcome mindset blocks, plan for the future, set goals, and just generally try to get people excited about their lives.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, how did you get here to this point? How did you get to having a full-blown business and having this ability to coach people in life?
Wow. Well, I think a few things, just kind of my history, and that's where you talked a little bit about, you know, the things that come from our past. I'm a first generation non-residential school attender. So everybody else in my family went to residential school. So right there, that kind of made me, we kind of joke, you know, the kind of that hope, right, for that next future of it. Your job to get out there and use your voice, use your intelligence to honor everybody that came before you and you know, the opportunities that they didn't necessarily get to have. So from a young age, I was really encouraged to be brash and sassy and to get out there. But then when I would do it, I would also get kind of told to, hey, quit acting like that. Don't put yourself out there. You know, because of our, you know, like I said, first generation residential school survivor, my family weren't able to be themselves and express themselves. So it was always with a bit of fear and trepidation. So I kind of grew up with this tentative balance in my life of being confident and at the same time being fearful too of going, oh geez, I hope I don't say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. You know, and trying to navigate both worlds, because I am, part, I think, Scottish and English and everything else, right? So trying to find that place for myself as I grew. And, it was just a lot of amazing life experiences. If I could say the one thing that allowed me to get to where I am today, it's by saying yes. I love that movie, Yes Man, because that's what I feel like. That's what it took, was just going, I don't know anything about that. And somebody saying, that's okay, you can learn. And I'd go, okay. And it was scary. And I would think, I don't know anything about this. Why would they want me? But I was so lucky to have people that would say to me, it doesn't matter. We can teach you. We don't want you because of your knowledge. We want you because you're young and because you've got a voice and we want to teach you. So I was really blessed to not necessarily have to, you know, my own imposter syndrome was self-imposed kind of thing. But yeah, so it was just saying yes to opportunities. I was a volunteer. I was on the board of the Friendship Center. Then I worked there, as like I said, as an employment counselor. Then I worked at a public library. I worked at Big Brothers, Big Sisters. I have, worked in a variety of different, then I got into fitness about 7 years ago. So really, and then it's culminated in me working in our communities, doing a lot of strategic planning workshops, skill development, and like I said, just generally being a cheerleader of humanity and, you know, trying to support where I can.
When you were asked to present at Inspiring Women Among Us, what did you feel? Did you feel that it was an obligation to say yes?
It is always an honor when I get asked to use my voice, never an obligation.
Awesome.
I joke when people say, really, what do you do or what is your background? I laughingly but seriously say I'm an unfulfilled actor. So whatever stage I can get on, because that's a lot of my journey, was living a life that wasn't me, living, you know, constantly being behind the scenes and helping other people, and which was great. But then all of a sudden I realized, you know, over halfway through my life, oh my gosh, I want to be the star. I want to be on stage. And how do I do both? How do I have a good career? How do I help people and still feed this entertainer in me? So when I get asked to do something like this, even doing this interview, it just lights me up that because I, what is it? I feel that it's a sign that I'm making connection with people and that I'm offering something of value.
That's really a good feeling. That really, I guess, kind of goes against, kind of cures the imposter syndrome in a way, hey?
Totally. It's, well, yes, exactly. And knowing that, you know, people say, well, that's external validation, a lot of things we talked about today. But I said, you know what? No, it's about an exchange of energy. And I mentioned that today. And when people put that back out to say, we've enjoyed what you've done, to me, it's a way of sharing energy with what I'm putting out. And when people offer it back, I just, it gets me excited. And yeah, like I said, my mom always used to joke and say, geez, I sure hope that you get paid to talk. So I feel like my life now, whenever I can get involved in something, it's almost it is my obligation in the best way possible to share thoughts and ideas and my voice.
Now, how did you decide what to present on? Were you asked specifically to speak about imposter syndrome?
No, it's actually one of the kind of the cornerstones of my way of doing business. So a lot of what I talk about is imposter syndrome and emotional intelligence. So those are two really big topics near and dear to my heart that I think they are the root causes of so many of the ills that we have right now. And even this, you know, this overwhelming flood of people with anxiety nowadays. And to me, it's so much about being in control of our emotions, knowing how to manage them, knowing how to process them, not being afraid of them, and realizing that so many of our thoughts are almost pre-programmed. They're like automatic thoughts. And I heard it, somebody said it on a podcast, it's automatic negative thoughts. They just kind of come into our head and play, and we don't even question them. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Oh, I'm not responsible with money. And we let these little things dictate our lives without even realizing it. So I've been trying to, you know, as a business person and managing through this COVID time, is figuring out, what are those things? How can I help people move forward and get out of their heads? And I do a lot of business coaching as well with people going, how do I switch directions with everything that's going on? So I think that's one of the big things, because that's what I'll hear is, oh my gosh, Dad, who am I to start a business now? I'm 50 plus years old. Who am I? I should be retiring now, or nobody's going to want to buy right now for me. Why should I do this? And really, it's all the fear of rejection, but also the imposter syndrome. Who am I to do these great things? And I think it's just a huge problem that we have. So no, it was something that I mentioned, and they instantly were like, yes, I think I can connect with so many people.
That's awesome. Well, it was so interesting to hear you talk about all of these different facets of imposter syndrome. And I was wondering, is there a difference between a business and an individual when it comes to these things that you've noticed?
Honestly, I think it's really the imposter syndrome is from the individual. So I think that it exhibits itself in, so, like you said, so many facets. It just shows up in different ways. So when you're at work, it could be that, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing here. Are these guys going to figure me out? You know, geez, I'm doing interviews. Are they going to know that I don't know everything about being an interviewer, right?
Yeah.
And so it can show, right? I know what that's like. So it can show up that way. You're at home as an individual. You're a new parent. And that's what I mentioned today. My gosh, as a new parent, they go through constant, and it could be a fur baby new parent. It could be somebody that's becoming a foster parent or bringing, you know, adoption. Like, when you don't know, you don't know. And imposter syndrome can show up there going, oh my gosh, who am I to be doing this? I can't do this. And it can create, if we don't get a hold of it, it can cause so much misery in our lives and hold us back. So I think it's It shows up everywhere, just in different things. Of people not, you know, one of the biggest things I think that it shows up in is people not showing up to do what they would like to do.
Right.
So you want to start a business, you're too scared to start it. You want to start working out, but you're scared. Well, people, what if I don't lose 50 pounds? People will laugh at me or think I'm a failure.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I think that's where I see it a lot for everyone.
You talked a lot about an exchange of energy and feeding off of the good vibes around the world. But what do you do if there is negative feedback and if somebody explicitly tells you that you're a failure? How do you combat that with your already ingrained imposter syndrome ideas?
Well, first of all, so there's different degrees. So there are people that, you know, it's like tone. It's like everything. Mm. So I'll go with that, start there because so somebody, when I grew up, sometimes it was, oh, my gosh, don't do that. You don't want to fail at that, or you didn't do that. It wasn't done out of anger, upset. It was done out of fear for me and people wanting to protect me.
Right.
So there's that part of it where it's almost, it's negative, but at the same time, people are doing it too because it's their own record that's playing in their head.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is, what I would say is, look at your spark team. Who are the people that are surrounding you? So because there's real things where you messed up at work and that's okay. But if it's a false, what we're talking about here is that false person saying that you're not good enough, you failed. Is that kind of what we're thinking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that false person. So what I tell people to do is we need to look at the source. Where is this coming from? Who is this person? And people say, oh, do you do a lot of analysis? Yes, I do. That's the only thing that helps me. Because I look at who is this person? Have they accomplished anything in their life? Are they bitter? Are they? And it's amazing, you know, become an armchair psychologist. It's the one time where I invite people to do it because we take too much of what other people say as the gospel, right? That they're the expert and they know way more than us, than I do. So I have to look at, A, if they're part of my, or is this part of my social circle? Is this part of my family? Well, then I need to look at what's our relationship have been. But I also say you can like people or you can love people, but you don't have to love them or like them. You mm-hmm. walk away, you kind of file them away as this is not a supporter of me. Because the fact is, you and I both know your friends, the people that show up for you, would never say you're a failure, would never say you messed up, would never say, and people will go, oh, well, you know, sometimes it's the truth. No, you know, when your friend has an incident, you don't sit there and go, oh my God, well, that was a, you know, that was a crap show. Holy cow, you really blew that, right?
Yeah.
So I always say, look at the source. Who is it coming from? Because even when I've got people that are scared to start businesses because they're afraid of, what if I fail? What are people going to say about me on Facebook? So because I want them to advertise on Facebook. And I'm like, seriously, you have people on your friends list that you are afraid of what they're going to say, that they're not supportive of you. And they're like, well, yeah, my cousin Johnny and my auntie Sarah and my this person from high school. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you need to basically unfollow them or block them or unfriend them. Because the fact is, I have about 2,000 friends and I put something up, I'm not worried about anybody. They may think it, but I would never have anybody that would say it. And normally they'll just unfriend me.
Right.
Because I let people know that I'm in charge of me and I don't care. You know, I mm-hmm. do care what you think of me, but I'm also not going to let you abuse me. So I guess it's really getting clear about your own boundaries. And this takes practice. You know, I mean, we had, you know, an hour and a half today. And I in no means want to belittle this and say, oh, yeah, just listen to this webinar and it's gone in 5 minutes. You know that.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, I guess it's practice and it's about rechanging that message.
Mm-hmm.
It's also looking at the message. If they say you're not good at this, then you look at the message and go, is this true? No, I am pretty good at this. So it's really being honest with yourself.
I guess on the flip side of this question, you talked about taking compliments and taking good feedback as well and having that exchange of energy. Could you elaborate a bit about why we feel uncomfortable with compliments?
Oh, because it's the fraud syndrome, I think, for a lot of people. Because something is easy for you to do or because you did it. A lot, and people say thank you. I think if it's rooted your, because some people are just shy and don't like that attention on
right.
themselves, right? But if we're talking about true imposter syndrome. You really believe that you do not deserve credit for whatever they're telling you. So it even adds to your feelings of fraud and I am totally lying to these people when they say thank you, because I am not what they think I am, right? So I think it just adds to it. And it is kind of ingrained into us in a lot of ways to be, oh, you need to be, and you know, whether it's gender, that was some of the discussion today, whether it's gender or not. I'm like, well, at the end of the day, some of us were taught, whatever your raisings were, to be humble, not pat yourself on the back, not to this. So I think that's part of it too, where we've got to learn to say, hey, I'm pretty okay, and you're welcome, and thank you, and yeah.
It's good to feel proud of the things that you do. It's important, hey?
Hugely, mm-hmm. Hugely. Well, really, what gives anyone the incentive to actually do, create, help, and be if it's not for that? You know, I mean, yeah. People will say, oh, it's totally altruistic. I did it just for the good of mankind. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think that we're simpler beings than that. It feels good when we help. Mm-hmm. It feels good when we do certain things, so...
And that's okay. It's okay to be a little bit selfish when it's something like that, right?
It is. Oh, we've got to learn that it's okay to be happy, and that it's okay to be proud, and it's okay to look at our accomplishments and say, I did a good job. That it doesn't have to always be pathological or negative. That really, what do we have these talents for? If mm-hmm. it's not to stop and look at them once in a while and go, look at these amazing gifts that we were given. That's what, you know, gratitude is.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point.
You know, for me, I truly believe when people have fear and anxiety, and if we can put ourselves out there, I think that's what, you know, my style is pretty, it's pretty fun, it's pretty out there, it's pretty jokey, but it's because I figure if I'm a little bit crazier and freakier than everybody else, then maybe that frees you up a little bit to go, right. Oh my goodness, if she's doing that, well, maybe I can just open up just a little bit.
Oh, it makes people feel more comfortable to get to that point. That's wonderful.
I sure hope so, because it sure makes the presentations more fun too.
Yes, no kidding.
Involved, so.
Now I kind of wanted to talk about a couple of little case studies to kind of get your brain working a little bit. There are so many ways that people can be undermined in like work, school, and even within their own homes by themselves, as well as from outside sources. So how do you suggest clients handle work or home situations that really breed feelings of insecurity or imposter syndrome? Like, for example, if you had a boss that belittles you.
So, I mean, there's different pieces. So what I would say would be open communication is the first thing. Being able to say, you know what, this is kind of what's going on. There's the I statements. You know, I'm feeling that we aren't having great communication. So, I mean, communication is always the first step. And again, we also, all of these things are in a spectrum. So mm-hmm. we'll put it there, because they're going to be the bosses that it does not matter that they are the, they put the B in boss. You know what I mean? That no matter what you say or do, that may be just their MO, their internal dialogue is, I need to control and belittle people. That's what bosses do. On the other spectrum is the person that you can totally communicate with, and they see the error of their ways and they go, yes, I'm going to change, right? Mm-hmm. So I think as a person, just being aware of that, so that there isn't a magic wand. But I think one is communication. It's really being able to say, this is how I feel when this happens. And maybe that's not, and there's a lot of softeners you can dance around, and, you know, maybe that's not your intent, but, you know, just when you speak to me in this way, this is how it makes me feel. And I don't know, I don't think that's your intent. Mm-hmm. So, but I just wanted to, you know, have a discussion around that. So, and it's hard because this ain't easy stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
These are hard skills to deal with. I think it's the same at home, right? If you've got a partner that you're feeling in the same way, it's about communication. The second thing is to really look at the quality of the relationship, because I'm a big believer that we spend so much of our time around what I like to call cheese stealers, the life force suckers we have in our life. And again, we're almost conditioned. Oh, well, this is, you know, they're okay most of the time. And I think that's what it is. We just liken abusive relationships to, oh, somebody that's physically hurting me. But I think there is all these physical, mentally abusive and socially abusive relationships that we get into too, whether it's with friends, bosses, partners, what have you. And it's so much about self-awareness and being aware of what's going on and creating your boundaries. So I know that's kind of all over, but there's so many, there are just so many pieces to it. But
no
for
one
me,
set
self-awareness,
answer.
Yeah, self-awareness and communication, I would say would be the two places that I would start.
Now, how do you first start getting self-aware? What's the first step?
So for me, I laugh and I love it. So anybody that's on Facebook, my favorite thing are those stupid little quizzes that are on right? Oh, what's your name? And people will laugh and I go, no, it's a safe way for people to go, oh, it's a safe way to look at themselves in a funny way, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I like to start. So for me, I love personality assessments. I'm certified in like 7 of them. I love giving them to people because so many people are so afraid to look at themselves because of this belief that I'm not good enough, low self-esteem. What if I don't like what I see?
Right.
So I really am like, hey, let's do some self-assessments. And you can Google personality assessments. And I'm telling you, a million will come up. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would tell people. The next thing I would say is start listening to, if you're interested, and I tell people, I want you to start doing 15 minutes of personal development today. What does that look like? I want you to get on some podcasts and Google personal development or, whatever. I want you to read. I want you to listen. I want you to have discussions with people. Maybe there's your a friend or a professor at school that you really enjoy talking to. But really focus on minimum. I mean, ideally, we do more of it, but people are busy. Same, you go, where am I going to find the time? Well, you're driving to work, and instead of listening to music like I used to do all the time, I pop on a podcast and start building. And, starting to experience, but again, there's a ton, but I would say those would be really two first facets. And start to do some of these fun, just even these free self-assessments on there. The second thing is, start to listen, do some personal development. And if you're not sure, like I said, Google personal development podcasts, and everybody has got a top 10 list for everything. Also know that podcasts are like your future partner. You may not find your favorite one, the first one you listen to. So make sure that you try some different things and don't give up. It's like anything. Keep trying until you find what works for you.
I really liked some of the things you said today during your presentation that talked about mistakes and how it's actually not a mistake. It's an opportunity to learn. And that's kind of what your whole spiel kind of feels like. It's like everything that you do is this new place to learn and develop. And I think that's really neat. It's a really good way to look at things.
I used to, my imposter syndrome, would it tell, because I'm a pretty blessed person in my life. I've got my brain, I've got my voice, I've got my physical abilities. And I went through a real serious time because I felt I should be the prime minister. I've got the support. I've got the brain. I should be like Oprah Winfrey. Like I should be famous right now and I should be doing all of these things. Until I realized that my personality, who I am, when I really started to break down what you need to do to commit to all of these things, to be those people, I realized I don't want to do those things. It's not funny. And then because I was like, am I lazy? What's wrong with me? And I finally went, no, it's because I'm not that single track expert. And what I'd like to title myself is I'm a collector of experiences.
That's really nice.
And you can't fail. That's all my job is, and people say, what's the meaning of life? And I'm like, to collect experiences. That's it. To collect as many as you can, good, bad, otherwise, meet as many people as you can. And that's why we got to get over this imposter syndrome, because it holds us back from doing, being, having, experiencing it, and ultimately sharing our bit of magic with the world, because you can't just stay at home and hide in your basement. You've got to put yourself out there, whether it be virtually or one day back in person again.
With your presentation and our conversation today, I have felt this theme of positivity and of humor. In your perspective, why is it so important to embrace humor and positivity?
Oh my gosh. You know what? It's almost to me like smiling, and people may disagree with me, but if you look at the science of smiling, and I really believe once we can reprogram our brains to positivity, what they say is you use way less muscles to smile than you do to frown. It takes more physical energy, and that's why it's so physically draining to be down. It's just not you're tired. It's because your whole body, more muscles are engaged to do it. So for me, I'm like, well, geez, could that be the same with feeling good? And people say, Zan, do you know how hard, how down I feel, how anxious, how depressed? I'm like, I know, that's what I'm saying, though. We need to create this new regimen, this new way of trying to think, because I promise you, once we get you there, you are going to feel the lightness. You know, people wait to get motivated. That's another thing, my fitness background. People are always like, oh, Zan, I need to get motivated before I can work out. Or before, you know, then I'll get started. And I go, oh, my dears, don't you understand? There is no getting motivated. Motivation comes from action. And you don't feel motivated until you go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I just did that thing. That was pretty crazy. I think I'm going to go back again and try it again. And that's when you get a little bit of excited, is from those small steps of success. And so really that for me is, and honestly, I won't kid you. And that's what I like to tell people, is be vulnerable, is I am an empath. That's why I do this work, is because if I didn't surround myself with amazing people like yourself and all the people that tune into these webinars and these trainings, I would be just where everybody else is, depressed, feeling unfulfilled, bored with my life, feeling anxious, scared, because that's what I think, anxiety, it's scared of, fear of the future. But every time that I get anchored and go, no, what can I do right here, right now in this moment to manage my anxiety, to bring greater joy to my life, to feel like I am moving forward, that's where I start to come out of the depression, the anxiety, and the fear of that future. And I just truly believe that I can't solve everyone's problems. I'm not a doctor. I don't have all the answers. I'm not a, you know, don't give out medication. But if I can infect people with that feeling, that understanding, that belief, I think it can go a long way to curing a lot of the things that we have going on in terms of our own emotional and things that are holding us back.
Well, thank you for the positive, incredible work that you do to make everybody feel better. Everybody needs to work more on that. We need more people like you spreading that around.
Oh, my gosh. Well, with people like you, I mean, we can't go wrong, right? Your energy is infectious. I can feel it over the phone.
Thank you.
And that's what we got to do, is create our spark team, right?
Yes.
And just get out there. And thank you for offering your bit of magic out to the world, because the world needs you, my friend.